Would you go ahead and turn in your Bibles? We're going to begin today looking at part two of a message I started a while ago. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we left off a few weeks ago, David and Goliath. We left off at a place where David had showed up to where his brothers were, where the army of Israel was. They were on one side of a hill with a valley in between. On the other side was the Philistines. The Philistines had a man named Goliath. I think last time I spoke, I talked to him as about Goliath Schwarzenegger. He was big and he was strong, and he was a giant. And David was not there to fight Goliath. David was simply there to take some supplies, to take some food to his brothers, to his brothers' commanding officers, and to bring back news. He wasn't to bring back the head of a giant. He was to bring back news of how the battle was going. Well, David showed up to this scene. He was just simply about his father's business. And sometimes when we are just about our father's business, we run into giants. It's not a reflection that we might be living wrong or doing something wrong. Sometimes it can just be very simply on the course of life as we're following God, we discover there is a giant in our path. We ended a few weeks ago with this statement from King Saul. He said, "The Lord be with you." David had declared that God had delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and God would deliver David from this, the hand of the Philistine. So the hand of the Philistine, and Saul concluded with, "The Lord be with you." And really that is the issue, is God being with us. That makes all the difference. God with us. I love the phrase when the prophets talked about Jesus, the incarnation, Jesus coming to earth, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm so grateful that even though he ascended, that he gave his Holy Spirit to us, that we would never need to be alone, that we would never be orphans, that we would never be isolated, that we could always be in not just communication, but in communion with the Father because he sent his Holy Spirit. The issue is with God being with us, or rather us being with God. Moses would cry out that very, very similar kind of a statement. God, if you're not going to go with us, we're not going. We're not moving. It's essential that as the people of God, if wherever we go, that God is with us, or more like we are with God. I don't want to just somehow bring God along wherever I go. Just God, hop in. You be the passenger. I'm driving, and away we go. And just bring God with me. That's not a scriptural understanding of God in our life, that he just gets in as a passenger. But not only is he not a passenger, he's not our taxi driver, where we get in and begin to bark out some orders and directions. Hey, take me over there. This is where I want to go. He's not just the taxi driver to say, oh, and where would you like to go now? But rather, it's a little more appropriate that he's our driving instructor. He's not our passenger. Just hop in and come along. I'm about my life, and I'll just include you in it. And it's not just get in, and we get into this life of Christianity and begin to tell the Lord where we want to go, what our plans are, what our direction is. But rather, it's a little bit more like he's our driving instructor. He's our guide. He knows where we need to go. And we don't need a map if we have a person. If we can't see the directions, if we don't know where we're headed, if we can't see what the next, the path is for us, it's okay because he's with us and he knows. And so all we need to do is listen to the instructor. The amazing part is, as we are to follow him, he will lead. But he leads us with his voice and he leads us with his presence. The amazing part is he gives us the steering wheel. He doesn't take the steering wheel and just drive us like a taxi driver. He gives us the wheel, even in all of our frailty. And he gives us instructions. And he'll say, up at this next juncture, I want you to turn left. Then we'll follow his instructions, and then he'll say quietly and gently, I mean your other left. Right? When I told you to go this way. We were going to zig, but instead we zagged. The marvelous thing about God is he doesn't have to pause and say, recalculating. And he doesn't say, you blew it again. And then he's already got a path for us. He knows our path. He knows our frailty. And there are moments that we probably all find ourselves in, like Carrie Underwood, who sang the song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Where we just get to that point and say, Jesus, take the wheel. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We're just so overwhelmed and so consumed. And graciously, he does. Just reach over and steer us through some difficult times. But he doesn't take the wheel the whole time. He gives it back to us and says, okay, now, listen to my voice. I am going to steer you through this. You have a role to play. It's not we're just robotic. We are people who listen to his voice, and he leads us. May the Lord be with us. And this is where we ended in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But it goes on to say, so at this moment, Saul clothes David with his armor, and he puts on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. That is not letters. It's an armor, not just. I thought that was funny. David fastened his sword to his armor, and it says he tried to walk, for he had not yet tested them, hadn't tested this armor. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I can't walk in this. I can't walk in someone else's armor. I am convinced of this, that God doesn't give you grace or strength to wear someone else's armor, to go through what someone else is going through. He gives you armor, grace, and strength to face what you're going to face. Sometimes we say, I could never go through that. But we don't have a choice of what we go through. Our choice remains with how we go through it and who we go through it with. Our hearts were gripped this weekend, not only with Rob's passing, but also with the tragic bus accident with the Humboldt hockey players. And we look, and some people say, I could never go through that. They didn't have a choice. And I'm so grateful for a community and people that would gather around extending comfort and grace and strength and life and help to those who remain. But we don't get to choose what we go through. When we're about our Father's business, sometimes there's a giant that we have to face. But we're not going to do well if we try and face it with somebody else's armor. Just like David wouldn't do well with Saul's armor, no matter how magnificent it must have looked. Can you imagine the king's armor? Like when we think about the armor of Saul, I don't think it's some secondhand hand-me-down armor. That you're wearing the king's armor. But David couldn't face the enemy in that. Someone else's faith, someone else's relationship with God isn't going to get us through. We discover this over and over in Scripture. God delivers people. Sometimes he delivers us through things, and sometimes he delivers us from things, but he is always our deliverer. He's the one that we look to. When we look at the book of Hebrews and it talks about all these many people who overcame by faith, and by faith they stopped the mouth of lions, and by faith, all this tremendous testimony, but it also says, by faith they were sawn into and they were destitute, and on and on, and it wasn't a failure of their faith. In the midst of struggle and confidence, they still believed. And it was a victory of their faith no matter what they were going through. But you can't wear someone else's armor, grace for what someone else goes through. We see this in the Old Testament. We say it in the New Testament. I was mindful in the book of Acts of the seven sons of Sceva. In Acts 19, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call in the name of the Lord Jesus, over who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul, quite familiar with, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. We can't try to use some kind of formula. This Jesus, or this Paul, this Jesus that Paul knows, they needed to know Jesus for themselves. We need to have our own armor. We need to have our own relationship with God. We need to know what God is calling us to do. And God will give us the grace and the strength for what we need to face. The other thing is, we can't, I think we learned from this story of David and Goliath, we can't go into a spiritual fight with physical weapons. Our answer is not physical, but spiritual. Whatever giants we face, our answer is not physical, it's spiritual. It may be worked out physically, but the answer is spiritual. It wasn't a physical fight. If it was a physical fight, David was going to lose. Remember Saul's comments to David from earlier in the chapter. He said this, "You have no experience, but Goliath has nothing but experience." From his youth, he's been a warrior. Goes on in verse 40 of chapter 17. So David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and in a pouch, which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. So not only is it Goliath, he's got somebody carrying his shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and even good looking. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David did something that no one else had done. He drew near the enemy, close enough for Goliath to get a good look at him. Now, he took his staff with him. And I thought, well, I would do the same thing. Pastor Chris and Pastor Brad, and I just bring your staff with you. And he took this shepherd's staff. If you can imagine in your mind, see in your mind, this shepherd's staff, five smooth stones in his pouch, sling in his hand, and David goes out. And Goliath sizes him up, says he's only a youth. And I don't think that the good-looking part is just thrown in there. I think it was clear to Goliath, this is a kid who doesn't have any battle scars. This is a kid who has not been weathered. This is not a kid who's been in the army. This is not a warrior. This is not a hardened soldier. This is the look of innocence. Goliath sized him up. No hardening. Young man standing with a bag on his shoulder, sling in his hand, and a shepherd's staff. And Goliath says this. When he gets a good look at him, he said, "You brought a stick? You come to me." He sees this shepherd's staff in his hand. You brought a stick? You brought a knife to a gunfight? You know, like this kind of moment, you brought a stick. What am I, a dog? We're going to play fetch? You're going to poke me with that stick and I'm going to run away? Like, what are you thinking, buddy? You brought a stick. And he curses him by his gods. I submit to you that Goliath's problem was not that he underestimated David. It's that he underestimated David's God. Verse 45 said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand," says David in his reply, "and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth. and all the earth may know that there is, all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You're talking to me about coming to you with a stick. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. You come to me with experience and stature. You come to me because you're the biggest and the baddest and the strongest. You come to me with all this physical weapon, with all this physical strength. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He is saying, the Lord of heaven's armies. You're looking and seeing this army here who is scared on the hillside. There's a whole other army you don't even know about that is standing guard here, that is aware of what's happening here. And the Lord of that army, as well as this army, will deliver you into my hand. The name of the Lord of hosts of heaven. You look at the strength of temporal things, but there's an army here that you can't see. And Goliath, you have chosen poorly to rely on physical strength. Come to me with sticks, said Goliath. But David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And then he says this, and dear ones, this, if you hear anything this morning, it might be this and this part of the sermon. I think we miss the point of this story, or we can miss the point of this story, that we talk about David versus Goliath. In the business world, there's books written all about David and Goliath and the little guy beating the big corporation, on and on, David and Goliath experiences. Today, all the earth will know, not that there is a shepherd boy who can stand up to a champion. That is not the point of this. But the earth will know that there's a God in Israel. That's the point of this story. It's not just about a little guy can take on a big guy. The point of the story is let the whole earth know that there is a God in Israel. And he said, this is not David's battle. This is the Lord's battle. That's what David cried to Goliath. This is the Lord's battle. So listen, this would not be David's victory. This would be the Lord's victory. It's not about David and Goliath. It's about showing that God, there is a God in Israel. We see the remaining verses this morning. Then David put his hand in his bag, ran together and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they surrendered to all Israel. But they didn't. They fled. Right? If you beat our champion, we will be your servants. We will surrender. Listen, the enemy lies. They fled. A stone. One stone. How many stones had David picked up in his lifetime? How many stones had he flung in his sling? How many stones? Who knew that this stone would be the one? And the answer isn't, I'll show you how to defeat a giant. Get a stone. The answer is this. Look to God. It's God who brings the victory. It's amazing that Goliath fell. Did you hear it when we read it? He fell face down. It sunk in, and instead of falling backwards, he fell forwards, face down. He did exactly what his so-called God had done when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the temple where Dagon was. And that false god fell over face down before the Ark of the Covenant. And we watch Goliath, who had called upon his gods, fall face down before David. And then there's undoubtedly a sermon in this that he used the enemy's weapon against him. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned for good. I want to close with just a few points of application this morning. Maybe there's one thing, maybe there's a few that you can take into your life and say, I'm going to own this, I'm going to walk this week. Because all of us face giant-sized problems, even when we're just being about our Father's business. Number one, to recognize God is with you. makes all the difference. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. You're not forsaken. That's part of what the cross was all about. He was forsaken that we would never have to be. God is with you. And not as our taxi driver, and not just as our passenger. He's our driving instructor, so we need to have ears that hear what he's saying. My sheep hear my voice. And then secondly, don't approach the battle in someone else's armor. Including someone who's just a spectator. Because even though Saul was king, all he was at that point was a spectator, watching the battle. And saying, well, David, if I was going to face him, here, take my armor. This is what I would do. You can't face the enemy out of someone else's experience. What God has been doing in your life, that's where we face the enemy from. He delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He had built up to this. Look at what God's already been doing in your life. God is with you. Follow his instructions. Follow his instructions. Don't use somebody else's armor. It's got to be your relationship with the Lord. Remember this, that when you hear the enemy telling you what he's going to do to you, confront him. And confront him with the truth. And verbally confront him. Declare the word of the Lord. Say it out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even let your ears hear your voice speaking the word of God against the lies of the enemy. Confront him with the truth. And in the midst of that, remember the battle's the Lord's. It's not yours. You may have to fight. We may have to be a part of it. But remember this, that the battle's the Lord's. So the marvelous thing is, so is the victory, is that we look to the Lord. Don't do what Goliath did. Don't underestimate your God. What God is able to do, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us mightily. God is able. His arm is not shortened that it can't save in time of need. Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too difficult for you. Don't underestimate the power of God in your life. And then lastly, give God the glory. It's not about David and how great he took down the giant. It's about what God did with nothing, with a little stone and a little boy with a stick. But that shepherd's staff reminds us that we have a shepherd, that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want, and that he will cause us to walk in the right path, paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and even in the presence of our enemies. He'll prepare a feast for us. There is an anointing even in the valley. Our cup runs over. We'll surely dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On and on, we have a shepherd who looks after us, and so we give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. The last thing that I just very practically invite you to do when you face a giant, would you put five stones in your pouch? Put five stones, whatever you're facing. Whatever giants in front of you, would you find five scriptures? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, count. Five scriptures dealing with whatever situation you're facing. You're facing sickness, illness, find five scriptures on healing. Five scriptures on healing. Put them in your pouch. Declare them. Speak them out loud. Confront the enemy. Put them in your pouch. Now listen, when you do that, read them in different versions. Cross-reference them. Don't just take them out of context and say, well, this means that. Understand them. Read them in context. The context of the chapter. The context of the chapters. The context of the entire Bible. That's where we get in trouble when we just pull scriptures out and proof text and say, well, this means it. Read them in context. But do this. Get five scriptures and put them in your pouch. It means get them in your hearts. And so at any moment, you can just reach in and put a scripture in that sling and send it directly at the enemy. God's word, that's what we need to have in our hearts, that we might not sin against him, that we might know the path that he has for us. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Dear ones, whatever giant you're facing, if it's on finances, find out 5 scriptures on provision. If it's fear, find out 5 scriptures on trust. If it's worry, find, again, 5 scriptures on trust. Whatever your giant that you're facing, if it's someone in your life who has walked away from the Lord, find 5 scriptures about the Lord bringing them back, about his word not returning void, the seed that's been planted in their life. Find 5 scriptures that we declare and that we pray over them. Dear ones, find 5 scriptures, put them in your pouch, that when the enemy, when the giant shows up, you're already ready. You're already ready with God's word hidden in your heart. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Father, thank you for the story of David and Goliath that points us not just to David and Goliath, but it points us to you, the God of Israel, the God who is the Lord of hosts, the army of heaven is at your command. All the times we look at this physical world and we think giants are so big and all we can see is the physical giant in front of us, whatever it may be. God, we call upon you, the Lord of hosts, God, to defend us against the enemy. God, it's not our victory, it's yours. And I pray for each person here this morning who's facing a giant, God, that you would defend them, you would speak to them, you would strengthen them, you would encourage them, you would give them the grace and the power and the strength that they need to face the giants in front of them. God, that you would illuminate scriptures, your word, your promises to them. God, when I talk about those 5 scriptures to put in our pouch, God, that there would be not just random scriptures, but oh God, you would speak to us by your word. And those scriptures would be imparted into our hearts, and that there would be faith that would arise because we're trusting in your character, we're trusting in your nature, we're trusting in who you are, and God, we are trusting in your word. God, I pray that you would show us and reveal to us scriptures that can just be in our pouch, that will bring transformation in our lives. God, thank you for the victory that you cause us to walk in. And God, I just declare that victory in each person's life over every giant we face, that you would receive all the praise and honor and glory, for the battle is the Lord's. Even when we need to fight, we acknowledge the battle is the Lord's, and so is the victory. And you are the God who causes us to walk in victory.